Welcome to the Wyatt's Haven of Bliss podcast. My name is Wyatt Houts, and I am sharing with you today about my bone marrow transplant as I drive back to work from lunch. This is my first podcast. It was inspired by the audiocollective.net with Corey, Dave, and Rachel, and I'd like to thank them for inspiring this and to add to my Haven of Bliss. The website is havenofbliss.com, HavenOfBliss.com. A bone marrow transplant is a very wonderful new procedure that's been developed, thanks to God, which involves donating my bone marrow to another recipient, usually a cancer patient, so that they can generate new bone marrow cells and possibly better white blood cells that will help them overcome their cancer. I have been matched to a 65-year-old man who has a blood cancer. And what they will do is they will give this man chemotherapy and kill off all of his bone marrow and then give him my bone marrow that will hopefully help him overcome this cancer. There's like a 40% chance that he will overcome the cancer with my bone marrow transplant, but on his own there is almost no chance of him surviving. So this is a really wonderful experience that I've had over the last couple months, actually over the last couple of years building up to this, that I'm able to partake in, and it has really blessed me, and I thought that I'd share with you about it so that maybe it'll possibly inspire you or edify you. What happened is 2 years ago, I was listening to the radio, and I was praying, Lord, give me something that I can do for you today, that I can serve you and be your servant. And he inspired me to go to a blood drive that was sponsored by WMUZ. I thank the radio for always giving us good things to inspire us and encourages us. But what they had was a blood donation rally at a car dealership. And I went in and I donated my blood for the first time. It was doing good because I had possibly saved someone's life. But that started a chain of me donating my blood regularly because I'm O positive, which is a universal recipient. It's not as popular as O negative, which is a universal donor. But it's still a very valuable blood type because it's compatible with half the people in the populace. So what happened was, one of the times that I was donating, they asked me to register with the bone marrow registry. And what happens is they match my bone marrow type based on stem cells in my blood with the registry on 6 points. And if you match these points with someone in the world, then you can become a recipient in case they need a bone marrow transfer. I've never done this before, and I was expecting never to be called because it is a pretty rare chance that you're actually matched. There's possibly 8 million people in the registry, but I heard that only 100,000 people last year tried to do this procedure. Initially, I was, not too excited about it because the procedure involved taking a needle and sticking it in through your pelvic bone and extracting the liquid portion of the center, which is the bone marrow. All of your bones have bone marrow in the center, but the pelvic region has a larger amount than the rest of the bones. And I believe there's a couple other spots where they can do it from too, but obviously they want to go at the place would be more convenient and that would be the most successful. The bad part about having a needle stuck in your bone hundreds of times is it's very painful, and you are bedridden for at least a week. And I've heard about people being bedridden for a month and in excruciating pain. So, I'm thinking about Jesus in the garden saying, oh, my soul aches to the point of death, and I don't want to go to the cross, I don't want to do the bone marrow transplant, and I'm not Jesus in any extent, but how can you ever say no to such a thing? And they do give you the opportunity to say no, but how could I? But thankfully, I decided to do it, and like Abraham going up the mountain, God provided a ram, and there is an alternate procedure that I can do, which is a stem cell extraction. What they use is a centrifuge, which will take the blood out of one of my arms, run it through a machine, and spin it out so that the bone marrow is in a certain layer, and then they will extract the layer with the bone marrow, and they will give me the rest of my blood product back. That way, I am able to donate without having a surgery, but I will have to be hooked up to a machine for about 10 hours. Usually it's 1 or 2 days, depending on the weight and the size of the patient. So for 2 days, I will be out of work, opposed to like a month. And the worst I'll feel is some fatigue and maybe some bone pain beforehand from the steroids that they will give me. So let me explain the procedure a little bit better. What they will do is, first of all, they called me up and said, "We think that you are a possible match," and had me go into a Life Source blood donation center where people donate blood and platelets. And what I did is I donated about 7 tubes of blood, which they tested against this person. And they matched me on 6 points, and I matched all 6 points for this person. There's usually a pool of 10 people that they try, and out of those, I was the only person who matched all 6 points. And then they went on, they did a further test on 8 more conditions, and I guess I matched all of those conditions as well. So this is a really wonderful thing, because the odds of finding someone with your same bone marrow type is really slim. It's completely separate from your blood type. It's not related to the fact, like, no matter what blood type he has, after we do this procedure, he will become O positive, which is I am, which is the only way that you can ever change your blood type, which I think is actually pretty darn cool. But, oh well. So anyways, what I will do is, since I'm such a perfect match for this man, I can do this stem extraction. I guess they call it stem cell donation, because what they do is they give me 5 days of steroid treatment. Every day they will send a nurse in, and I'll have to take 1 shot a day, or possibly 2 for some other patients, that will cause my bone marrow to produce more bone marrow than normal, and it will increase my white blood cell count for those days. And then after those 5 days, I will go into the procedure, and they'll hook me up to a machine and funnel my blood out, and then we'll be able to extract the stem cells because there's a heightened level of them. After the procedure is done, then I will be able to go off steroids, and I should be turned back to normal immediately. But my enzyme levels may be weakened, and I may have a weakened immunity system for that. Maybe up for 9 months on some occasions, but there hasn't been much side effects. The only side effects that I have heard about so far is possible chest and abdominal pain, maybe some bleeding from the spleen. The spleen produces other factors of your immunity system, like platelets and whatnot, which help fight diseases. But on the whole, it should really be a minor procedure for me. And, you know, I had some trouble with my work because I've just moved to Illinois and I live in the Chicagoland area. So, you know, I work for Motorola and, you know, developing cell phones, and I have a lot of responsibility, and I've only been there 2 months. And for me to ask for all this time off is really, like, a stressful thing for me. Do I quit my job for a procedure that might work? You know, this is a wonderful job, but God really required me to do that. You know, and when I went to ask for the days off, they were like, "Well, we need you here. You just started. We have this phone that's due." They have their deadlines and needs too, and how can I, like, sacrifice my work? And it seems very selfish, but then again, if I don't do my job, that can jeopardize the jobs of all the other people in the group. So, you know, how do you win in this catch-22 situation? But thankfully, this procedure has worked out so that I only miss maybe 2 days of actual work, which I can use my vacation time for. So, I'm still scheduled for July 25th or 26th is when I'll go in. It's like a Wednesday and a Thursday, and they'll hook me up to the machine and donate to the person. I have no contact with the man, and typically it's all anonymous, and I don't have to talk to him if I don't want to, and he doesn't have to talk to me. But after the procedure, if it goes well, then I'm allowed to write him a letter, and then further on I can meet him eventually if he is interested. Otherwise, it can be just over at the donation. So I think it's a really interesting procedure, and, you know, this is an opportunity that I could save someone's life. And I want you to think about this, because this is how it's edifying me, is, on the whole, I could ask God to give me something so small, and He has this plan for me, like Abraham, which I mentioned before. You know, he was so faithful to have a son, even though he was old, you know, 100 years old. And God gave him that. But he had no idea the plans for him that he had. He would make him such a great nation of Israel. And through Israel, the Christ would come. Throughout the world, there would be salvation, all because of this man who had faith in God. Because of his faith, it was credited to him as righteousness. And it wasn't anything that he did. It was just that God had set him up to be that way. And like, when you ask God to do those things for you, he can have you be that stone in a mountain, and you have no idea that you had a foundation. Let's take a little bit, throw a little more theology, but also thinking about Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. There's this one rock that we might feel like as an outcast in the whole society. You know, like, they build this vast temple, and there's one large stone that just doesn't fit anywhere, and they ended up using that as the cornerstone. No matter how perfect the other stones are, they find their place in the temple. But it's that one cornerstone of Jesus Christ that you see the entrance gate every day that everyone recognizes. It's not the perfect rock. It's the one that the builders rejected. And, you know, Jesus Christ is that gate for us. And God is, you know, uses every one of us in his individual vessels for all of us. So not to get too sidetracked from the whole bone marrow issue, because the procedure is still ongoing, and, you know, yesterday I had my procedure. I went into the office, the doctor's office, and, you know, he analyzed me by looking at me. He could just look at me and, like, tell, you know, how good my veins were and how my blood pressure was just by touching my arm. And, you know, he didn't need all these fancy devices, but he was just aware of everything that's going on, and I had no idea that he was so aware until he revealed these things to me. And, you know, God is so much more in control. Maybe many of you are discouraged by the London attacks yesterday, when the subway was bombed, and, you know, how could God do that? And, you know, is God really in control and takes care of it? Because 50 people died, up to 300 people were injured by this, you know, terrorist attack that bombed the Piccadilly line and attacked the double-decker bus. You know, last fall I was in London and I rode that Piccadilly line and I stayed in Piccadilly Circus, and, you know, that King's Cross stop is one that I had passed through at one time. And I think about that, you know, maybe God had bombed me, but, you know, do I really have the faith that God is in control of my life? You know, that, you know, even if I were to die and, you know, today, I wouldn't wake up in the morning, but, you know, am I going to be fearful, or am I going to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the grave, so that when I think about my Savior, Jesus Christ, and look to him, that I know that, you know, even if I were to die, you know, from cancer, or terrorism, or just from, you know, the natural causes of life, that I'll be raised again, imperishable and perfect, and be redeemed, and be counted among the redeemed, because I put my trust in him, and there's no longer anything to fear. So this will conclude my first discussion about the bone marrow. I'll give you an update after I actually do the procedure and let you know how I feel and how smoothly it goes and get back to work. But I just want to thank you for tuning into my first podcast. I plan to have several more. I have columns on the haveofbliss.com website, which discuss many topical things, from theology to politics to, you know, just general religion and culture and all the things that might be interesting and fascinating in my life right now. And I hope to have similar podcasts on those things also in the future. So you'll be able to add your RSS feed to iTunes and download it onto your iPod. I'm actually recording this on an iPod photo as I talk right now with NiTalk as I drive back to work. So I hope you have a wonderful weekend and you enjoy this. And if you have any comments, please email me at wyatt@havenofbliss.com. That's wyatt@havenofbliss.com. And tune in next time for the next podcast coming live from Chicago, Illinois, on today, July 8th, around 1 p.m. Central.